السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. We continuing with the biography of Sayyidina Umar رضي الله تعالى عنه. Rights of Allah Ta'ala. Umar radiallahu anhu's letters to his commanders tell them to be careful about the rights of Allah Ta'ala. So number one, he would tell them to be patient in the face of the enemy. This is a right of Allah Ta'ala, that when we are facing the enemy, we must be patient, we mustn't run from the battlefield. Allah Ta'ala mentions in the Quran Sharif, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اصبروا وصابروا ورابطوا واتقوا الله لعلكم تفلحون. O you who believe, endure, اصبروا, and be more patient, meaning صابروا, be more patient than your enemy, and guard your territory by stationing army units permanently at the places from where the enemy can attack you. That's the meaning of warabitu, which stand as ribat. Wattaqullah, and fear Allah Ta'ala, so that you may be successful. So Umar radiallahu anhu said to Sa'ad bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu when sending him to Iraq, know that every habit comes by getting used to it. You get used to it. You come to madrasa first, you don't like it. You endure, you get used to it. Then it becomes home, then you don't want to leave. Then after 6 years, you finish alim course, they tie the turban for you and tell you, go, you say, no, I want to stay. Then you want to come back to visit. Becomes home. So he said to him, get used to being patient and doing good. Get used to being patient and doing good. Be patient against whatever befalls you. It will make you fear Allah Ta'ala. Similarly, he wrote to Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiallahu anhu in Sham. Because Abu Ubaidah was the leader there in Sham. He wrote to him, indeed Allah Ta'ala has praised people due to their sabr. Many a prophet fought in Allah's cause, and along with him fought large bands of religious learned men, but they never lost heart for that which did befall them in Allah's path. Nor did they weaken, nor did they degrade themselves. And Allah Ta'ala loves the patient ones. They remained patient all the time. Sometime Allah Ta'ala gives rewards in this world. The rewards in this world is booty, war booty, and victory. While the reward in the akhirat is forgiveness of sins and jannat. Read this letter of mine to the troops and ask them to fight in Allah's way and to show sabr so that they too might receive the excellent rewards of this world and of the hereafter. Whether it's going to be reward in this world or the year after, that's in Allah's knowledge. Whether a person is going to be victorious or not, that is in Allah's knowledge. Person is going to become a shaheed, that only Allah knows. But to remain patient, that's within our control. So we must remain patient. As long as we remain patient, then whether we are victorious or whether we are defeated, our sawab is secure with Allah Ta'ala. The intention behind fighting, meaning jihad in the path of Allah, the intention behind that should be victory for Islam. Victory for Islam. You see, today's time, why we don't see the nusrat of Allah coming to the mujahideen? We worse than them. But why we don't find that nusrat of Allah coming, like how it came to Sahaba and all that? Sometimes they also went through a little bit of difficulty, but not so much difficulties. Then Allah sent His nusrat. You see, today, this kuffar influence is so strong in us, that even people who are in jihad, they too worried about soccer scores. They too worried about, what's the player's name? Huh? Ronaldo and Messi and who? All these fellows. Yeah? They too worried. They too following all that. They too on Instagrams and all these things. Yeah, there are those who are very pious. The Amirs and all that. They don't worry about all these things. But the general people, their minds are in all these things. Sahaba radiallahu anhum, if you saw them, daytime, they're fighting. Nighttime, they're in ibadat. When they're in ribat, they are in ibadat. So they were always connected with Allah Ta'ala. So that's why the Nusrat of Allah Ta'ala came very quickly. So we also in this zamana, if we become connected with Allah Ta'ala, Allah's help will come. But when we are not connected to Allah Ta'ala, our situation is same like the situation of the kuffar. What they love, we love. They're not reading namaz, we too not reading namaz. They love this fashion, we too love that fashion. Then what's the difference between us and them now? What's the difference between, why must Allah Ta'ala's help come to us? So the ummah has to become very connected with Allah Ta'ala. Then Allah's nusrat will come, Allah's help will come. So Umar radiallahu anhu is saying, the intention behind fighting should be victory for Islam, not victory for us. We took over the country, we did this. No. How much of Islam has come? Our whole intention is Islam must be established. Umar radiallahu anhu fully comprehended the hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that he who fights that Allah's word should be superior, then he is fighting in the cause of Allah. Right? If a person is fighting because they took my house, I want my house back. They took the land, I want my land back. We are the people of the land, not them. Those are the reasons for fighting. Then that is not real jihad. Jihad is when you fight for the deen of Allah Ta'ala to be established. Understand? Jee. Then, so that was one advice that Umar radiallahu anhu used to give to the commanders and to the mujahideen, that fulfill the rights of Allah Ta'ala. Right? The first thing is to be patient in the battlefield. Then fulfilling the trust. Fulfilling the trust. So Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran Sharif, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ وَمَا كَانَ لِنَبِيٍّ أَن يَغُلْ وَمَن يَغْلُلْ يَأْتِ بِمَا غَلَّ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ ثُمَّ تُوَفَّى كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَّا كَسَبَتْ وَهُمْ لَا يُظْلَمُونَ. It is not for any prophet to take illegally any part of the booty. I mean, a prophet will not make khiyanat in the booty. And whosoever deceives his companions with regards to the booty, he shall bring forth on the day of Qiyamah that which he took illegally. If anybody took from the Mali Ghanimat anything illegally, on the day of Qiyamah it will have to be brought forth. Then every person shall be paid in full what he has earned, and they shall not be dealt with unjustly. In other words, the khiyanat that this person made with the Mali Ghanimat, he'll have to pay for it on the day of Qiyamah. And there you can't pay with rands and cents. So Umar radiallahu anhu used to advise his commanders and the mujahideen never to be financially dishonest. When you meet the enemy, do not flee. When you are victorious, do not illegally take any part of the booty. Avoiding favoritism, mustn't have favoritism in the war of Islam. One of the famous sayings of Umar radiallahu anhu was, whoever appoints a man solely due to friendship or kinship, he has betrayed Allah Ta'ala and his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You're appointing a person not because he is the best person for the job, but you're appointing him because, hey, he is my friend, let me put him there. He is my cousin. Let me put him there. So this is betrayal. You are betraying Allah Ta'ala and His Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Whoever appoints a wrongdoer knowingly, then he too is a wrongdoer. You know that this person is not a straight person, and now you appointing him, putting him in a post, then the one who appointed him will also be a wrongdoer. So this was the first type of advice that Umar Nawn used to give, that worry about the rights of Allah Ta'ala. Then the second type of advices he used to give was the commander's rights, the Amir of your jihad. Right? What are his rights now? So the first thing is obedience. The Mujahideen, they have to obey the Amir. They can't make their own stories. Even if the Amir is telling must do something which we don't like, you must do it. There will be goodness in there. There will be khair in there. You have to listen to the Amir. Understand? When Umar radiallahu anh sent Abu Ubaid Thaqafi as the commander of the Iraqi campaign, he sent two more commanders, Salama bin Aslam and Surayt bin Qais al-Ansari radiallahu ta'ala anhum. He told Abu Ubaid, do not make any decision without consulting with them. Because the both of them had participated in the Battle of Badr. So in other words, I am appointing you, you are the overall commander of the army, but make mashwara with these two. Because they are Badri Sahaba. So make mashwara with them. When Abu Ubaid fought with the Persian army at the Battle of the Bridge, he was counseled by Surayt radiallahu anhu. Remember we did it, when we did that part of it, we did it. Don't cross the bridge into the enemy territory and don't cut it off. Don't cut it off. Right? Abu Ubaid, however, did not listen to him. And this led to a setback for the Muslim army. Surayt radiallahu anhu said, had I not despised being disobedient to him, I would have evacuated the troops. But I have to be obedient to the Amir. So although I advised the Amir, and he never accepted what I said, and what he did caused harm to the army, but I still have to be obedient to him. Understand? On the contrary, I listen to obey, even though you may be wrong. And even though Umar radiallahu anh made me a commander along with you, that you needed to consult with us, right? But you never listened. You went and did something we told you not to do, but still we will obey. Because you didn't break any of Allah's commands. You thought now in your mind that this would be better, but it was an error in judgment. But we will still be obedient to you because you are the Amir. You won't cause divisions. Understand? So that's the first thing, obedience. Number two, the decision of the Amir is final. Decision of the Amir is final. Right? So Allah Ta'ala tells us this in the Quran Sharif. وَإِذَا جَاءَهُمْ أَمْرٌ مِّنَ الْأَمْنِ أَوِ الْخَوْفِ أَذَاعُوا بِهِ وَلَوْ رَدُّوهُ إِلَى الرَّسُولِ وَإِلَى أُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْهُمْ لَعَلِمَهُ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَنْبِتُونَهُ مِنْهُمْ وَلَوْلَا فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَتُهُ لَاتَّبَعْتُمُ الشَّيْطَانَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. When there comes to them some matter touching, in other words, public safety or fear, they make it known among the people. If only they had referred it to the messenger or to those charged with authority among them, the proper investigators would have understood it from them directly. Had it not been for the grace and mercy of Allah upon you, you would have followed shaitan, except a few of you. So Allah Ta'ala has made the common people's entrusting of matters to the people in authority a means of gaining sure knowledge and drawing correct conclusions. So when you follow the Amir, Allah Ta'ala will put khair in there. If the leader does not arrive to the correct opinion, but others do, they should explain it to him. This is why we have mashwara. This is why Muslims have been instructed to have mashwara. When you have mashwara, now you hear everybody's opinions. So now after listening to everybody's opinions, now you'll come to the correct conclusion. Right? Hence, Umar radiallahu anhu used to appoint a single man as the commander, to whom all matters would be directed, and his decision would be deemed final. Right? And once the Amir makes a decision, now everybody must keep quiet and accept it. They mustn't be bickering now. Oh, he made a mistake. Now after that, if it is proven that he did make a mistake, yeah, you see, I told him, he never listened. He must listen to me. No. Nothing of that. You make mashwara, you give your rai. Once the Amir makes a decision, that is final. Umar radiallahu an had sent various armies to Nahawan, consisting of an army each from Medina Munawwara led by Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhuma, an army from Basra led by Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu an, an army from Kufa led by Huzaifa bin Yaman radiallahu an. But Umar radiallahu an wrote to them that after you meet with each other, because the armies are coming from different directions, so now you all will meet up at a certain place. So when you all meet up, then Nu'man bin Muqarrin Muzani will be the Amir. Now each one can't say, no, I came with my army, I'm the Amir of my army, you the Amir. No. You have to have one overall Amir. This is the problem in the Muslim world today. If we had one Amirul Mu'mineen, we won't have no problem. But because now Egypt got its own government, he's making his own decisions. Saudi Arabia got his own, they're making their own. Iraq got his own, Iran is not Muslim. Syria got their own, everybody got their own. Now they all, Turkey got their own, all making their own decisions, their own. Supposed to be one Amir al-Mu'mineen. Amir al-Mu'mineen will make one decision, the whole Ummah has to follow. Just see the circus happening there in Egypt now. 15, I don't know how many muftis of Egypt, they pass a fatwa that must wage jihad. Right? Now, one mufti who works for the government, he's opposing that fatwa. Now you're confusing the public, no? But if you had one Amir al-Mu'mineen, one word, finish, done. Khalas. So you have to be obedient, and the Amir's decision is final. The third thing is, when the Amir gives an instruction, then you must respond quickly. You don't procrastinate. No, the Amir gave an instruction, you respond to the instruction quickly, carry it out quickly. That is the third right of the Amir. When Umar radiallahu anh became the Khalifa, one of his first acts was to ask people to volunteer for the jihad in Iraq. After 3 days, the first person to answer his call was Abu Ubaid Thaqafi. So he made him the commander due to him being the first person to respond to the call. When Umar radiallahu anhu sent Utba bin Ghazwan to Basra, he advised him, "Fear Allah Ta'ala regarding what you have been made responsible of. Beware, do not let yourself be dragged into pride. It will sour your relationship with your brothers. Indeed, you were a companion of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You were honored due to him. After having lived in humiliation, you were living a life in humiliation. When you joined Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah Ta'ala gave you honor. You gained strength due to him after being weak. So much so that now you have become a governor with authority. You have become a ruler who is obeyed. You say and people listen to you. You command and they obey you. Let not this blessing lift you above what you are. Remind yourself that I am nothing. I am just a human being. And let it not make you careless about those below you." Leader sometimes gets so carried away with his leadership position that he forgets his duties towards those who are beneath him, his subjects. He has to fulfill their rights also. G. The fourth thing is not to distribute the war spoils. The spoils of war, you don't distribute it. They must be distributed by the commander. The Mujahideen can't start distributing it themselves. They have to wait for the commander. Umar radiallahu anhu said, O Allah, I make you the witness over the governors and the mayors. I only sent them to teach people their deen and teach people the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They must distribute the spoils of war among them and they must treat everybody fairly. And I told them to consult with me when they are in doubt of anything. They must ask me. At the conquest of Abla, a city on the shore of the Tigris River facing the Gulf, when the spoils of war were divided among the troops, the share of one of the troops was a copper pot. When he received it, he realized that it's not copper, it's gold. Initially everybody thought it's a copper pot. So they gave it to him according to the value of copper. So they gave him, but when he received it, he saw this is gold, it's not copper. So others, Mujahideen, got to know about this and they explained this to the commander. The commander became confused about the matter now, because now I finished giving it to him. Now I can't take back what I gave. We thought it's copper, we gave it to him, but now it turned out to be gold. So that means he got much more than the others now. So he sent a message to Amir al-Mu'mineen. Umar radiallahu anhu replied, insist on the Mujahid to swear under oath that he did not know it was gold before he received it. He didn't know it's gold. If he takes an oath that he didn't know it's gold, let him keep it. Otherwise, if he says he knew it's gold, then take it and distribute it amongst the army. The soldier, however, did confirm under oath of his ignorance. He said, I didn't know. I didn't know about its real worth. So he was allowed to keep it. His takdir. When the spoils were gathered after the conquest of Jalula, Jarir bin Abdullah Bajri radiallahu anh claimed that a quarter of the spoil should go to him and his tribe. Sa'ad bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu anh wrote to Amir al-Mu'mineen, who replied, Jarir is speaking the truth. I did tell him that. It is now up to him. If he and his tribe fought for this, let them keep it. However, if they fought for Allah Ta'ala and they fought for the deen of Allah Ta'ala, and they hope for their reward from Allah Ta'ala, then let them have the rights and duties of every other Muslim. They mustn't claim the quarter. Sa'ad radiallahu anh showed the letter to Jarir radiallahu anh. Immediately he exclaimed, what Amir al-Mu'mineen said is correct. We don't want the fourth of the war spoils. We are with the believers. We'll get the same share as everybody else. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. Let's stop there. Next we will discuss the rights of the Mujahideen. But they also have rights. Just as the commanders have rights, the Mujahideen also have rights. So what are the rights of the Mujahideen? Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayh. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته